Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson, and welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to, found right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson, and also wherever fine podcasts are found. Where else are we, Steve? You may say that too.
Patreon.
Patreon.com/Steven Larson. What can they find there?
Shirts. A shirt for $50.
They get more than a
you
shirt.
You mail us one $50 bill, and we'll send you out a shirt covered in dog hair.
Pretty much true.
Nah, man. We got like a bunch of people watching our live stream. We have 74 people watching our live stream right now. Today is our $1 live stream day. We typically do those after the pay-per-view. So you kick us some money, you get access to either a weekly or monthly live stream, possibilities of a shirt. Also, a comic book's coming up. All sorts of great stuff. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw, where we currently have 7 wonderful designs.
Eventually, there'll be an 8th.
Yeah, eventually
there'll be an 8th. I'll find time to do one.
Absolutely.
Haven't had that time yet.
No, but I like to shout out the patrons who have pledged throughout the week. I'm gonna start breaking these up per episode, though, Larson, because that's a
good
lot.
Idea.
It's a lot. We've been getting a lot of patrons, and we want to say thank you very much. So today I'm going to do the patrons that signed up last week from Tuesday through Thursday.
Yes.
Brendan Lee Jeffrey, Peter Oliver, Corey Carmona, Maxwell King Reinhardt, Chris Robinson, Reginald Torian, Tom Fox, Roman Reigns Basketball Gimmick, CM Dunk. I like that name.
It's good.
Thomas F. Greenwell, Hector LeBron Jr., Quentin Bembauer, Intoxication 93, Chris Hodgkinson, Anthony Iannotta, Tyler Maloney, Sarah Hamdy, Real Too Sweet the Guy, Rasmus Jensen, Paulius Maximus, Matthew Duggan, and that's it for Tuesday through Thursday.
Good. I was hoping you'd end soon because I can tell your voice is straining.
Honestly, it's not even my voice. My voice is okay. It's my ear. My equilibrium's off, man.
Uh-oh.
But I don't want to.
Are you going to fall out of your chair today?
It could be, hopefully, for the entertainment of the thousands watching this.
Yes.
Yeah, anyways. Let's talk about Raw.
Raw. Yeah, we were there last night. It was right here in Sacramento, California.
Correct.
At the Golden One Center.
Correct again. That is such a wonderful building.
It's
every
a very
time
nice,
I go there.
And it's not just the building.
Oh, it's the
they've really done a good job of building up the surrounding area.
Yeah.
The parking is great because it's not centralized. It's spread out amongst many garages, so it's easy to get out.
It's crazy how well they can actually plan that stuff. Like when you think about it, they're building a giant, massive building and doing their studies, and it works in terms of like the efficiency. Like you get out of this building with like 16,000 to 17,000 people in it, and we're like within a minute or within like I'd say 5 minutes of us leaving our seats. Everybody's leaving the same time.
Yeah.
We're out the door within 5 minutes. And it feels like we're leaving with a couple hundred people. But within several more minutes when we're like on the way to our car, we're only with like 10 other people. Like they have this magnificently planned out.
Yeah.
And it's insane that it actually works.
It did. It really does.
Do all the research
between the parking being spread out, between the public transportation options.
Yeah.
It's really easy for people to get there and get out of there. And it's great.
It's crazy.
Because it's downtown. It's downtown Sacramento.
It's not that crazy. You know, people spend decades and decades like researching this stuff. And,
oh, I know. But you
millions of dollars of research.
Based on the location of the arena, it would be very, very easy for traffic to get incredibly congested.
Well, that's what everybody said they thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like they're like, oh, it's gonna
I mean, I've never been
when
for
all the anti-arena people. Oh, it's gonna be.
I've never been for a Kings game, so maybe it's different. But I don't know why it would be. But
well,
the two
dad,
times we've
my
been
dad's
there,
been to for a Kings game and the McCartney concert, and he said it was. Everybody says it's flawless. Yeah, I've heard anecdotally, everybody says it's flawless.
Well done,
planners.
Overall, a take on last night's Raw.
It's difficult. It's always difficult. It's always difficult to sort of like. Did you watch the replay, the broadcast?
No,
I did not either. My instinct tells me that if I were to watch the replay, it would feel like an uneven show with a Raw black hole, but with some a couple of high spots, including the main event, which I thought was
main
a
event
spectacular
was fantastic.
Match. Before you start, I'm going to ask chat really quick, and then you can keep going, and then we'll see what their answers is what their answers are. How did the crowd for the main event specifically play out? Because it felt like we were part of a hot crowd.
Yeah,
I'm curious as to what chat felt. You go ahead. And
okay.
Go to the point.
Somewhat often, we'll talk about, especially when we go to shows, wanting to know how they play on TV.
Yeah, right.
But at the same time, when we went to Payback, we had a really good time. We thought it was a fun show. And I watched a little bit of it here and there.
Right.
And the just based on the little bits I watched, the crowd was hot. So that, you know, communicated in the televised product. But last night during Raw, as you said, just felt uneven being there.
Everybody's saying that the crowd was hot for the main event.
Good, because we were.
Yeah.
It was a great main event.
It really was. Like the crowd, here's the thing. The crowd, I think this is the case with most crowds, but Sacramento, I firmly believe that Sacramento is a crowd that really wants, if you give them something, they will reward you with their, you know, undivided attention and their passion.
Yes.
I think Sacramento in a lot of different ways, you know, or across a variety of spectrum, not just pro wrestling, but, you know, we have a very nerdy culture here.
Yes.
Like, we appreciate the geekier things in life.
Yes.
And we'll give you everything we have if you just give us something to chew on. And there were times that they did last night. You know, we did enter into a black hole. I thought this overall. If you take out the black hole aspect of it, which was, there was the tag match, there was two 205 Live matches, which I was like, I'm not so sure about that. We had, you know, Titus Brand sort of treading familiar territory. We did the same thing we did last week. We did this week, and that's just furthering along the Titus Brand thing. But it's kind of predictable where it is right now.
Well, I think I don't know if it, for Raw necessarily it was a situation where there were gaps in kind of entertaining segments. I think it just really shows post superstar shakeup. Raw got hit really hard, especially this week with no Braun, no Reigns.
It's not just that they got hit hard, but you're right, they did. But, I mean, dude, look at the main event. We've got Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, The Miz, Bray Wyatt.
Dean Ambrose was in the mix.
It's not just that they got hard. You can't necessarily, I mean, because Samoa Joe made a cameo, so you've got Samoa Joe there. It's how they're being utilized, too. It's like when SmackDown was the more entertaining show, with a severely empty roster. Raw could totally be like that if, you know, I don't know, if they swap creative, if we got something fresh. But I just feel like so much of it was Payback. We both said that Payback was kind of a formality pay-per-view.
Yeah.
In that you had the leftover remnants of the
some WrestleMania storylines, stuff
the,
like that.
Of the pre-mix-up storyline. Sort of, you know, you had the House of Horrors, which, and Payback ended up being far from a formality pay-per-view.
Yeah,
it was
fun.
Actually really fun pay-per-view.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
And so last night, I feel like they should have set a lot of pieces in play, and instead we didn't really get that. We, to a degree, we did, but not in a spectacular fashion. Bar, you know, with the exception of the main event, which ended up setting up some from, you know, it didn't really set up anything new necessarily.
No, not at all. And that was kind of, I mean, the main event was great, the finish was great, fun match. It's just the results ended up in something that we've seen several times already. And it would have been nice to give us a fresh matchup or a different matchup based, because the interviews that happened throughout the show were Dean Ambrose, started with The Miz, I believe. He took Charlie's mic. I know I'm jumping ahead a lot. While she was interviewing The Miz, and that carried on throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen Miz Ambrose several times over on SmackDown. But when Ambrose went and talked to Rollins, there's an interesting dynamic.
Right.
Granted, we've seen that feud several times as well. Never with both of them as faces.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And then Dean interviewed Finn. Again, a feud we've never seen.
Right.
There were options to give us something new.
That's a thing, yeah.
And yet they just went with the same old thing. While maybe the plan is for The Miz to take the belt off Ambrose at some point to be kind of a transitional champ, to get it on Seth or get it on Finn, I understand that, and you know, because that's kind of a more traditional route.
Mm-hmm.
But give us these matchups that either we haven't seen or we haven't seen with that dynamic.
Yeah.
It would have, you know, if Finn would have won that match, it would have been interesting.
I know.
Because Dean can be a tweener and not lose the fans at all.
Yeah, I know.
You know, give us a dynamic of Seth Ambrose, both his faces.
I know.
With their huge backstory.
I know.
Would have been interesting.
I know. And that could even lead up to like a post-feud Dean heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't want to do that, that's fine. But like you said, there are some really interesting dynamics we need to look at. And because they're low on heels, something has to give.
Yeah.
You can't just keep going back to the same well, and that's what we got. But let's start at the beginning, because I think you and I are on the same page with that. We started off with Alexa Bliss, one of the best talkers in the business right now. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like it's insane how fast she's come along. So she has her coronation. She says, you know, just having my hand raised isn't good enough.
Yes.
I need a coronation. So I reached out to Kurt Angle, and she brought out all her friends from the women's division. So everybody had to sort of stand in a circle around her.
Yeah, there was a pedestal in the middle of the ring.
It was literally a pedestal.
About halfway through her promo.
Once she stood up on, she was about the same height as everybody else.
I know. About halfway through her promo, she said, you know, she's not... Essentially, she said, you know, the queen is dead.
Mm-hmm.
I am the goddess.
Yes.
She has stepped Raw up to women's
deity
division.
Status.
And so she climbed atop the pedestal. After going to a few of the other members of the women's division, she went and talked to Sasha and said thank you, you know, tongue in cheek, thank you.
Oh yeah.
And then she said thank you to Mickie James.
Well, she went through everybody, and then of course when she gets to Nia Jax, and you see just how much more dominating Nia Jax is in stature.
She said, "We're good.
Yeah,
we're cool.
We're good."
And then after she gets on top of her pedestal, she goes, "Oh, I almost forgot. I want to talk to Bayley."
Yeah.
And she says, you know, hey, I beat you in your hometown in front of your family.
Mm-hmm.
Bayley got mad, dumped over the pedestal
mm-hmm.
while Alexa was standing atop of it. And that led to a...
I'll say this about the Raw, about the mix-up with Raw. Both the women's divisions benefited from that.
Yeah.
It was a really, really good mix-up for them because Raw added the depth they so desperately needed, and they lost one person who really needs to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have fewer protected people, but more quality opponents. You have Emma, and Emma came back. So you have Emma, you have Mickie James, you have Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexa Bliss, they have booked as an opportunistic heel, not a weak heel, but an opportunistic heel who knows when to pick and choose her battles. And those are my favorite.
Yes.
I love those. Those are great.
Yes. And heels like that don't necessarily have to be protected.
Right, exactly. No, you're exactly right. Because they pick and choose. And so when I was looking at the lineup there, I was like, man, the women's division here is now very, very strong because of the mix-up.
Yeah.
And then you look over at SmackDown, it's like you can say the same thing.
Yes, absolutely. So that led to a tag match. I'm trying to count how many were on each team.
Eight,
that's right.
Well, four on each team.
Yeah. Eight-woman tag match.
And look at the division split down the middle, four.
I know. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Decent match, mm-hmm. good action, couple scrums on the outside mm-hmm. involving everybody.
They did a decent job of sort of telling all the little stories, like you had Emma and Dana Brooke having sort of a moment.
Yeah.
And so you had a lot of little good stories. And then, there was a scrum on the outside. And then eventually, it broke down. Like, we forgot to mention Alexa Bliss was up there, and Bayley.
No, I mentioned
like,
it.
Oh,
I
mentioned that?
It. Yeah,
okay,
it turned over the pedestal, yeah.
Alexa Bliss took a nasty spill when that happened.
Yeah.
There was a scrum on the outside, but then Alexa Bliss ended up getting the pin on Bayley, I think.
Yeah, with the DDT.
Yeah, with the DDT, that's right. So, again, you see her being opportunistic but booked strong because her DDT laid out Bayley.
Yeah, in two consecutive nights.
Mm-hmm. So it was. I thought it was a strong way to open the show because you're really spotlighting a division that deserves to be spotlighted. I mean, you know, there's a lot of strong stuff going on mm-hmm. here. You have a lot of interesting pieces. You have a lot of really interesting pieces in that puzzle. It's going to be interesting to see where they fall before SummerSlam.
Yeah, no. Next, we had a singles match between Enzo.
So here,
and
here
Luke Gallows.
We begin kind of the we're black hole number one because. This wasn't there. There was nothing new done here.
No, I feel like this feud has gone on way too long. Neither of these teams really have anything to do.
That's the thing. They don't. Yeah. So it's like they come off Payback and they're like, okay, well, what do we do with them? Instead of having a plan in advance, like, okay, after Payback, we're going to do this. It's okay. Well, we're not entirely sure what's going to happen here. We have something really strong with the Hardys and Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah.
Who else is on? I mean, the Golden Truth, we got a number one contender match coming up next week, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But the Raw tag division, The Golden Truth, who else is there? I know I missed. Oh, the Revival, they're injured.
That's yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah, right now the Raw tag division is really top heavy.
Yeah.
It's the Hardys and Cesaro and Sheamus, and then everybody else is just trying to find a place, a niche for themselves.
So they sort of spread out the Raw black hole.
Yeah.
And
this match wasn't bad, it just felt pointless.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so early into the show. So you had Enzo versus Gallows. Gallows ended up going over.
Yeah.
There was nothing. It was the same story we've seen a million times.
I know.
You know,
so. It feels like for months we've seen these two teams battle.
So there's really not much to say about it. We had a really strong segment between Neville and now he's being just referred to as TJP.
Yes.
He's lost the last name Perkins, just TJP.
Yes. They made that change to his TitanTron package.
And it honestly feels Neville is at the point where he is lifting up people who aren't as strong as him into serviceable roles. And TJP last night was the first time that I saw a promo or a backstage segment with him that wasn't cringeworthy.
Yeah.
And Neville, I leaned over to you. I said this. I said, dude, that one backstage segment last night, I was like, I could see him on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like he did a really good job. And you pointed this out to me and I noticed it, but you articulated it when we were talking about it last night. That he does this thing where he sort of stares into his own like ego almost.
Yeah.
And he starts doing a really sort of sincere, direct, like stream of consciousness kind of delivery. And it's great.
But it's not, it is, I know what you mean by a stream of consciousness, but it's not, because it's like when Dolph was doing that promo on Shinsuke on SmackDown.
Yeah, it's not rambling. It's not focused.
Rambling, you're right. But it feels like, These words are hitting his brain as he's saying them.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're coherent. They're concise. It
doesn't feel like a delivery.
They're to the point. Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
It feels genuine.
He is so good at these deliveries.
And I'm happy that Perkins actually has a character that he can kind of.
There's something there for him.
Yes.
Now. There's something there for him.
And I think
the
now,
dynamic between the two characters is really coming
into
focus.
Yeah, and I think now that he has a character that's more than just a theme song and dabbing.
Yeah.
Is really benefiting him.
Yeah, he seems to be comfortable with it, and that's the most important part.
Yes, and he seems to be enjoying himself.
Yeah, right.
He really does.
Yeah.
And he's dabbing more as a heel,
and
it works much better.
The character, yeah, it does. The character dynamic between these two characters is something that's kind of interesting,
yeah.
You know, because it's Neville sort of from the outset. I was like, okay, he's going to use TJP as a pawn. But now, you know, I'm interested to see how far he can push that along.
Well, and also Perkins last night was showing a little resistance to Neville's manipulation.
Exactly. Yeah, he's not just going to be so easily manipulated.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the little things. It's like, yeah, it's just a backstage segment. But when you compare it to what we've seen in the past, it's like, okay, well, we can see the work these guys are putting in. And that's kind of important to acknowledge.
Yeah. Next, we had a Seth Rollins promo, and he said, "Now that I've closed the book on Triple H and Samoa Joe, it's time to shift my focus to a greater prize, that being Brock Lesnar and the Universal Title."
Yeah.
Out comes Finn Balor,
mm-hmm.
And he says, "Whoa,
hold on, Seth." Not so
I
fast.
Beat
Finn
you.
Came out, dare I say, to splash some cold water.
Yes.
Took your gimmick, man.
Cold water Finn. Came out and said, hold on, I beat you for that Universal Championship. I never lost it. The line starts here.
And he says it with such conviction. He's so comfortable with himself.
He is.
It's great.
Completely.
And then Dean came out.
Yeah, and he more or less said, you know, Brock's gone. Intercontinental title, top title on Raw.
Yeah.
So fight over this. He's willing to fight whenever, wherever.
Mm-hmm. The
Any
Miz
place.
Came down then
yeah.
and said the IC title should be mine.
Yeah, because he elevated it on SmackDown. Truth.
Correct.
True statement.
True statement. Again, heel who points out things. And I'm going to get a fruit fly on me or something.
Dean Ambrose takes it upon himself to call Kurt Angle.
Called Kurt Angle.
Yeah, even though Kurt was just backstage because he came out later in the night.
That makes me kind of, I wonder, because there was like two different, so Alexa mentioned Kurt Angle and then Dean said he called Kurt Angle. I wonder if he was just like getting to the arena. I don't know. Because I was surprised when he came out. I was like, oh, wait a second. Why wouldn't he have just come out?
I know, but sometimes they do stuff like that.
I want more Kurt Angle.
I think they just wanted the joke of
you might
Dean
be right about
saying,
that, yeah.
Oh, he wasn't happy. I had his cell phone number.
Yeah.
Anyways, Kurt Angle makes a triple threat match as our main event for the evening, pitting Finn versus Seth versus The Miz. Winner, number one contender to the Intercontinental Championship.
Correct. So that was set up.
Yes. It was a good, spot. Segment. Yeah, it was a good segment.
It was a good segment. Dean, especially like you said earlier, watching Dean and Seth as both faces, we haven't seen that before, they have such a good chemistry together.
Yeah.
That it's one of those things where it's like, if this is what they're giving Dean to do, at least we get it with something that's kind of fresh.
Well, also too, I feel like Dean last night did a pretty good job of towing the line between being funny, yeah, but still being taken seriously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it goes way too far.
You can tell Dean's doing everything he can with what they're giving him.
I know. Sometimes he goes too far just in terms of being funny that you can't take him seriously.
Yeah.
Like the giant foam hat. You can't take him seriously when he wears it.
Yeah, no.
But last night he did a really good job of navigating that and still being entertaining and funny.
Yeah, no,
but
absolutely.
Not being jokey.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Next up, we had, again, you know, and I don't want to criticize the competitors here because they did a good job with the match. But again, it was kind of, it's like a 205 live 6-man tag match. You got 3 hours on Raw.
I know.
You know, and it's like, I know that the cruiserweights are on Raw, but we had a terrific cruiserweight match a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
I just, there was no, like this, we literally got up and went to go get food during this. Before this, there was like a bunch of packages. So we saw the majority of this match.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was a good match. It's just, you're sitting there and you're like, what's the point of this? I'd rather see like another singles match. I know they're trying to get all these guys in on this.
Yeah. And I think part of it too is there's a lot of storylines involved in this match. You have Dar and Rich Swann, you have Tozawa and Kendrick, but I didn't really feel like watching this match. They did much creative, that is, did much to enhance the stories going on
right
between all the competitors.
This is the kind of thing where, so back in the WCW days, they would have put this match on with the cruiserweights to sort of wow the audience, keep them entertained while they set up the old men storylines. Here's the difference, though. These days, the level of athletic ability between the cruiserweights and the rest of the roster, the gap is far less than, obviously, you know, Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero, and then you get Hogan versus
Kevin Nash.
So, like, you've got this amazing athleticism over here, and then you've got lumbering, you know,
slow-mo
over here.
You have a guy the size of Seth Rollins who's 6'2", 225 pounds, who can do a lot of the same things cruiserweights can do.
And on top of that, they're allowed to do much more things. And so it's like, I get sort of the point of having this cruiserweight match here is to keep the audience into it by their good matches. And I don't mean this at all. By their good matches. But like, we throughout the rest of the card, we see matches that are just as good.
I know.
So it doesn't really accomplish its goal.
No.
That being said, you know, it's fine. Gallagher ended up going over. We got to see Gallagher headbutt. I always love those.
Yeah, like, he dropped a couple headbutts.
People love Akira Tozawa.
Yeah.
You know, that's obvious that he's over. But you know, it's just, we're there live. It's 3 hours. People watching at home. This is the kind of match that you just sort of start tuning out at. This is the black hole match. This isn't critical for me being here.
Yeah. Because I think, as you said, because they're not doing stylistically anything too different from what most everybody else on the roster can do. And also they're not advancing really any stories.
And that's the thing. It's like, there's no advancement there. It's like all these guys are kind of in storylines with each other and they're just there to remind people that, oh, this is going,
they're all in storylines with each other. Pretty
exactly.
much. Yeah.
Next up we had, this kind of disappointed me as well. Sheamus and Cesaro delivered their first heel promo.
Yeah. They're heels now because they wear aviators
and those, new jackets of theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a mess. But they came out and sort of, you know, Sheamus essentially said, you know, I tried really hard. I wanted to do this. You know, everybody cheers for him and you boo me. But I really felt like, you know, Cesaro really felt, I actually like this.
No, their promo was really good.
It was really good. Cesaro really felt like, you know, everybody being on the same page would bring us together. And he said, but you guys never got us on the same page. You were always booing me and you're always cheering him. And he got fed up with it, and I got fed up with it.
Yeah.
And Cesaro said, you know, people just don't appreciate when you have a Superman and a warrior together on the same team.
Yeah, instead you'd rather cheer for
a nostalgia act. He says, you care about the past, you care about the future, but you don't care about what's right here in front of you.
Which I kind of like the future, because I wonder if that's a reference to the Revival.
That could be, yeah.
Because they got a huge pop when they debuted.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it was a good promo. Set him mm-hmm. up his heels, and they said, you know, they talk about raising the bar. Well, we are the bar.
Yeah.
They're the top tier team in their estimation.
Yeah.
So as they're about to leave, Hardy Boys music hits, and we're all expecting something major. We're expecting, you know, Broken Matt, essentially, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt comes out, delivers a promo, and apart from a few references, mm-hmm. one pretty obvious at the mm-hmm. end, I mean, he wasn't speaking in the Broken Matt accent. It was just his normal voice.
Yeah.
Although he seemed like he kind of wavered in and out a couple times.
No, I feel like no more or less so than...
Normal, no.
...than he has.
But then he said, you want to know what our response is? Yeah. Well, this is our response. He drops the mic, and both he and Jeff do delete.
They do delete.
And they run towards the ring, Cesaro and Sheamus leave.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of disappointing.
Look, I wanted to see what they were going to do, if anything, with the broken thing. And obviously they really didn't. They just did the delete thing. It wasn't a huge reveal.
Here's the problem with the broken thing now,
I feel like you and I are going to be on the same page on this.
Is they've given the fans a little bit of it, so they still get the pop for the delete and the wonderful and all that stuff. The problem is now, if they are going to use the broken character, they're stuck in a position that if they want to reintroduce it, they've already teased it so much that it's not a huge reveal.
Yeah.
And so if they're going to have him be broken again, go through that storyline again, then me as a fan, I'm wondering, well, why was he saying delete before he was broken again?
Yeah, I know.
And then if they're not going to do that, people are aware of the broken character. They might not know its origins, so if they just go straight into broken character, some fans might get lost. So they're kind of in this weird catch-22 where I don't know how they're going to, if they're going to do the full broken Matt Hardy thing. Well, I had one idea how to do it, because he's kind of teasing on Twitter, where he kind of cycles through his various Matt Hardy personas through the years. And maybe rather than this being broken, that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know, he comes out one week and he's full V1 Matt Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he comes out another week, he's Mattitude Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
Comes out another week and he's totally broken Matt Hardy. Yeah. And he's cycling through his personas until something happens and he settles into probably the broken one.
Yeah.
That might be a way to do it.
Well, it was so interesting that at Payback, they really seemed to have the trigger cocked.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everything had set the stage. They got brutalized during the match and then especially after the match in the heel turn. And then commentary was like dropping hints left and right, and they were not even being subtle about
it.
And so it really felt like, okay, they're going to drop their, like the Cesaro and Sheamus are going to drop their heel motivation promo. And then, you know, the lights would go out or some crap like that.
And they'd show up in the ring and Jeff and Matt be wearing their robes type thing, or their trench coat type things. But they just walked out in jeans and their t-shirts.
Honestly, this is the disappointing thing, is the only thing I can think of is, we've got these new shirts, and we've got a lot of them, so we want to make sure.
And they're selling really well.
They're not quite obsolete yet.
Yes.
It's like, okay, well then, you know, right hand needs to know what left hand's doing.
Yes.
If merchandise needs to sell these shirts and left hand is creative, then they need to get on the same page and say, okay, well, let's see, how long do you need those shirt sales to last? And then we can book accordingly. Because that beatdown at Payback last night, that should have broken them.
Well, at least should have started the process of being broken.
I know.
Instead of just kind of doing the same thing.
They come out triumphant as heroes. It's like that was exactly like they should have been off TV or something.
Yeah.
They were just.
Have a segment with Jeff going to the dentist to get his tooth put back in.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Or even only Jeff comes out, you know, mm-hmm. like really tease it.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like they're just, they're unsure as to how to proceed. That's how it plays out.
And so they're just spinning their wheels in the interim.
Then we had a Miz interview where he's talking to Charlie at first, and he sort of looks away. He's like he's drifting off into his own thoughts, or he's yapping on about whatever.
Yeah.
And you lose sight of the mic, and then he comes back, and Dean Ambrose is holding the microphone. He's taken over the interview. Now he's interview man.
Yeah.
He asks him a question, and then Miz just leaves, right?
Yeah. And then Dean says, all right, back to you, Bobby. And
Gene.
He says, this is Mean Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Back to you, Bobby.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
So then we had the Slater versus Heath Slater versus Apollo Crews. There was, I think, was this on YouTube? Yeah, there was like, remember it was
motivated
it. Like Apollo Crews was asking Heath Slater and Rhino advice on, because he's a new father. And then Titus comes up as Heath Slater's trying to give him some good advice Titus comes up and says, hey, you don't want to be taking advice from those guys. You know, you're Titus Brand. And so that led to a match between Apollo Crews and Heath Slater. Apollo Crews ended up going over. Titus, you know, Titus was out as manager role.
Rhino was out with Slater.
Yeah, in manager role. Rhino's still hilariously over.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people love that guy because of ECW.
I know. I mean, there's a spot, a moment where I think both Slater and Crews were out on the ringside area, and Rhino was nearby, and the crowd just started chanting Gore.
Yeah, I know. It was great. It was fantastic.
But, yeah, Crews picked up the win, and afterwards, Crews and Titus did another selfie.
Yeah.
And then Rhino photobombed it.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
Like, with two thumbs up.
It was pretty good.
So that ended up on Twitter. It was hilarious. You guys check it out. I'm not going to use it for the thumb this time. And again, Paula Cruz had a great look on his face.
Yeah.
So then Kurt Angle comes out and...
he starts talking about the...
Oh, Reigns and Braun.
Yeah, the aftermath of Payback, and said Reigns suffered or re-injured his ribs, has internal injuries, and that Braun has a torn rotator cuff.
Mm-hmm. He says, when I talk to both men, neither of them are done with each other.
Yeah, but they weren't there tonight.
Correct.
Last night.
Yes.
So we'll get a rematch at Extreme Rules.
Yes.
Probably some gimmick match. So... lights go out.
Mm-hmm.
Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
Makes his way to the ring. He introduces himself to Kurt Angle and says, you know, I'm here now, reborn.
Mm-hmm.
I have work I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Will you let me do my work?
Yeah.
He asks Kurt Angle this question.
Yeah.
And Kurt Angle says, I don't know what your work is, but this is my show.
Yeah.
I'm the GM.
Yeah.
And Bray said, hold on. No. Don't get in my way.
Well, he said, this might be your show, but you're in my world.
Yes.
And he is eater of worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, cryptic, of course, we have no idea what he meant by all that.
It kind of feels like the last 6 months, the whole Randy feud never existed. Cause this is pre, Satanic Powers Bray Wyatt we had before us last night.
Yep. Yep. I mean,
he's literally doing the same thing he did 3 years ago.
Some credit for at least hitting a reset button.
Yeah. I mean, and he said this much.
And I mean, you know, I kind of appreciate the fact that he said Randy will always be trapped in my house of horrors.
We'll see if that plays out on SmackDown tonight, though.
For him.
Because we keep on saying that if you're in a feud with Bray, you should be changed by it. Let's see if that happens.
For him, the final act was trapping Bray underneath the refrigerator, house going to red.
Yeah.
That seemed to be the final chapter for him. And the stuff with Jinder was in SmackDown territory, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
That's the only explanation I can come
totally
up with.
Totally true. You're 100% correct.
That's all I got.
100% correct.
And you know what? I'm fine with that. I'm used to DC Comics where there's all sorts of different alternate Earths
and
stuff.
Yeah, how many Earths are there in DC continuity?
At least 52.
Wow.
Last I checked, but I know they even changed that like from time to time. But they made the number 52 a big deal at one point. So I'm used to all that stuff. But anyways, you know, I mean, here's the thing about Bray Wyatt that I noticed with the live crowd. You know, he can say a lot and he can talk a lot and say a little. But the crowd still really wants something from Bray Wyatt.
They want a reason to cheer for him.
They really do. And the great thing is I think I heard like a couple of what's maybe. But the way, obviously, Bray is an expert at cadence. And so his cadence kind of killed that. But still, like you hear a lot of... Here's the great thing about Bray Wyatt is that when you look at the live audience, this is how it should be. There's a lot of varying reactions to him. There's not one... So it's not everybody's on the same page whatting him.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's on the same page cheering him. Not everybody's on the same page booing him. It's all a bunch of people. He generates something in people that it's not black or white. It's not hot and cold. It's a whole spectrum mm-hmm. of reaction mm-hmm. to him, which is still really fascinating to see. After all this time of him being misused and misused, he still generates that through what he says. And that there's something impressive about that.
Yeah, he's still a captivating presence. And his entrance is a participatory experience. It's a communal thing where everybody wants to hold up their phone with the light on. You know, to be one of his fireflies.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think regardless of people boo or cheer him, they want to be part of that.
And the fact of the matter is, he's not coming out to challenge Apollo Crews. You know, he's there to going out to Kurt Angle, the GM, saying, I've got a grand plan for the entirety of the Raw brand. And it's so abstract, but everybody understands it's still big. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a title, but it's still a big universe-altering thing.
It's the entire show.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
confirm, Bray, next Raw General Manager.
Yes. That'd be great. Man, I got a lot of great matches for you guys playing tonight. And they're all going to have a one-minute time limit.
And they're all in my house of whores.
Yeah, exactly.
After that, backstage in the locker room, Dean interviewed Seth Rollins.
This is a very charming segment.
Yes. It was funny, and yet they referenced their past.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. And it ended with Rollins saying, you know, hey, I've learned a lot of new things, you know, through the years since the last time we fought. And Dean says, well, you surprised me before.
Yeah.
Won't surprise me again.
Yeah.
Reference to, you know, Seth Rollins' heel turn and breaking up the Shield.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
No, it was really good stuff. It was very entertaining. Then we had a fantastic match, Austin Aries versus TJP.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say TJ Perkins. TJP.
Perkins was working the knee of Aries, setting him up for the knee bar. Good storytelling there.
Yeah, no,
a lot really of good back stuff. And forth.
Yeah.
Austin Aries eventually gets the upper hand.
You got to give it up to Austin Aries, man. Two nights in a row, he put on, like, when he gets in there, he is so, you said this last night, he's so crisp.
Yes.
He gives everything he has to the matches that he's in.
And he,
every time,
he makes every effort to get the crowd involved.
Yeah, he does. He really
does. There is, I don't know if it was last night or on Payback, but he was on the mat selling something, and at first it seemed like he was banging his hand against the mat out of frustration, but then he did it again, and then he did it again. It was get the crowd clapping.
Yeah.
So he's selling injury while trying to get the crowd involved.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, he's so good at what he does, man. He is the greatest man
alive. Really is. So Aries gets TJP in the last chancery.
Mm-hmm.
Perkins taps.
Yes.
But Perkins attacks after the match finishes. Gets Aries in the knee bar. Refs break it up. Perkins dabs all over the place up the ramp.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
It was pretty great.
Yeah.
Good match.
Then Dean Ambrose finds Finn Balor in the walking throughout the
arena.
The arena. Thank you. And he interviews him. And
he says, my God, man, eat a carb. And gives him a donut.
Gives him a donut. Finn takes a big hearty bite out of that donut, even though it probably repulsed him.
I know. Well, did you see on Twitter, he posted a picture of that and said, that donut was just too sweet.
Yeah. That was good.
It was good.
And then anyways, Finn goes about his way as Dean commandeers the donut.
Yeah.
And who do we get?
The Drifter.
Yes.
Drifter drifts by. Dean asks him
if he knows any Pearl Jam. Yeah.
Which is like, Dean, how old are you, man? Are you really our age? Which is funny. How old is Dean?
He's probably 34? In his early 30s, I would suspect.
He is. Oh, he's 31. Wow. Dean, you're too young to like that, dude. Unless he likes crap Pearl Jam.
Oh, the newer stuff?
The newer stuff, yeah.
I don't know.
He's like, I started listening at the, what was the one with the George Bush song?
That's the last one I bought of theirs. What was that album called? I see the cover.
Yeah, I know. What was the one with an avocado on it? I think that was just one called
after,
Pearl Jam.
That was one after that.
Wasn't that just called Pearl Jam?
I think
Jam?
So, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, that was crap.
I only heard the single off that and it wasn't very good.
It really fell off. You know, and it's funny because as a fan, like, you hate to admit it. Like, me anyways. Like, I have my loyalties, man. And, like, I grew up hardcore with their first stuff.
Me too.
Hardcore, man. And then, like, when they start putting out stuff, you don't want to believe it's crap. But then you're just like, how many albums are they going to have with stuff that I just don't care about?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But they still tour. They sell out stadiums.
It's great. That's awesome.
No, it's good.
I'm glad they're financially good.
And if they're enjoying themselves, you know, ultimately, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Exactly. So we cut to commercial. Or it seemed that way in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
We come back, and Goldust is laying out his vision of the future of the Golden Truth to it's Kurt like Angle.
Some sort of movie?
Yeah. Well, essentially, he said that the Golden Truth want a shot at the Raw tag team
titles.
Well,
yeah, he got around to that. Him and R-Truth were envisioning some sort of scenario. But then he said, hey, we want a shot at the titles.
Yes.
And Kurt Angle hilariously says, man, it's so, like, he was so sincere, too. Like, this is from the heart.
Yeah.
Man. Anytime you start with man, it's like, I feel for you, but I'm about to disappoint you.
Yeah. He said, your win-loss record's not good enough to justify a title match.
Yeah. And they're like, come on, man. Kurt, I've known you for 20 years, maybe more. you've inspired us.
Yeah.
The Hardys being back has inspired us. Let us do this. And he says, man, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. Next week.
Tag team turmoil.
Yes. That sounds like something to be on SmackDown.
Exactly. I think they've used that exact terminology.
Yeah, and that's where everybody's milling about in the ring.
Think so.
So anyways, yeah, we're going to get tag team turmoil next week to determine the new number one contender. So I'm assuming there's going to be Goldust, R-Truth, Cesaro, Sheamus,
The Club, Enzo and Cass.
Can we add a fifth? Is there a fifth tag team? The Rival are gone. New Day's on SmackDown.
Slater and Rhino.
Slater and Rhino. There you go. It's got to be it.
Which brought us to our main event. Which fantastic. Was
fantastic.
Fantastic.
Finn Balor versus Dean Ambrose. No, I'm sorry.
No, that's not right. Dean Seth. Here.
Seth Rollins versus The Miz.
I was writing notes on my phone while we were there.
And lots of great moments here. So you had two faces, one heel. Miz hops out of the ring to start it and says, you two need to fight. So they start to fight, but then they want Miz to get involved.
Well, Miz like tries to sneak back in the ring during a pinfall attempt.
Right.
They take notice after whoever kicks out.
Yeah.
Then he crawls back out of the ring. And that happens a couple times. Like Miz tries to grab Finn's ankle at one point.
Yeah.
And then eventually they, both Seth and Finn, jump out of the ring.
They get fed up.
Run around, try to, hem in.
Right.
Pin in the Miz. Miz runs through the ring. So there's a little bit of a cat and mouse going on until eventually The Miz is in the ring with both Finn and Seth, and they start beating up on him.
Right.
At a certain point, The Miz turns the table. In the middle portion of the match, The Miz dominates.
Oh, yeah.
He dominated the whole middle portion of that match.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of really good back and forth, a lot of really good moments, a lot of false finishes. Super exciting.
I always kind of judge by like, okay, how PWG is this match?
And this was very PWG.
It was. Like, there is what was it?
Oh, that spot where Finn...
He kicks Miz...
Into Seth. Seth holds him.
Seth into a DDT position.
And then Finn drop kicks Seth.
Seth's fate. Yeah, he gives him a drop kick. So Seth goes back with Miz in a DDP in a DDT position.
Yeah.
And so he ends up getting a DDT.
Yeah, it was a really good
that
spot.
That was really cool. There was a lot of really cool moments like that. I probably would have preferred, even with the Miz going over, because there was a way to do it. A clean finish. But when we got set up some more stories.
Furthered some stories.
I mean,
and
it set up
others.
One storyline.
Yeah.
Finn and Bray.
But Joe came out while Seth was on the outside. He ran in through the crowd, gave him his kind of modified choke slam type move.
Right.
On the ringside area.
Yeah, so that took Seth out of the equation. Lights go out and Bray Music's hit happens. Lights go back up. Bray is in there. He drops Finn. With his sister Abigail, he quickly ducks under the ring, which we're going to talk about where he emerges after that. He drops Finn. Miz is able to take advantage and gets the win.
Yeah.
So Miz, it's going to be Miz versus Dean Ambrose for the title. I don't know if it's going to be on Raw or at Extreme Rules.
I suspect it would be on Extreme Rules, but that's not till June.
Yeah, it's a ways off. We still have a whole month change for that one. We're still going to get Seth Joe. I mean, Extreme Rules, that could be fun.
Yeah.
But that's a ways out.
Yeah.
Finn Bray could be fun. That could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, see how their promos go
back. There's a lot of storyline potential there.
So that's the one kind of exciting thing that we have going on. Miz Dean, we've seen before. And then Seth Joe, we've seen plenty of. But, I mean, I can watch those guys wrestle some more.
Yeah.
So I'm not upset about it. In the last match, like, Joe has to get over at some point.
Yes.
Joe has to go
over.
Well,
I thought it was going to be a payback, and that would further just, maybe he got over through some nefarious means.
I just hope that he brings up the shoulder next
I know.
Week. Because, man, that shoulder was like 2 feet.
That was plainly
off.
Obvious. Yeah. That shoulder was not on the mat.
Shoulder was like 2 feet off the mat.
Really
that
was.
Kind of ridiculous. So, anyways.
Let's talk about what happened after Raw, though.
We were there, so we got to enjoy the post Raw shenanigans. Not an actual match.
They finished the match. Both Finn and Seth are still kind of milling about the ringside area. Miz celebrates at the top of the ramp, goes backstage. Mm-hmm. As soon as the broadcast ends, The Miz with a mic comes on down, starts talking, dropping a promo, gets back in the ring. Dean comes out, and Dean says, all right, you're right. We're all big fans of yours.
Yeah.
We want to hear you do your world-famous catchphrase.
Yeah.
And he goes, look, Seth, fan. Finn, fan. Both of them are like, yeah.
They're all in the ring together, yeah.
And the Miz is all... You guys really want to hear me do my catchphrase?
He plays it up like he's a 5-year-old who has an audience of adults You know, he's really going to impress them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though it's just some stupid kid.
Oh, but before that actually happened, it was Dean says, you know, you won this match, but I didn't see you beat anybody up.
Yeah.
I saw Joe come out and beat up Rollins on the outside. I saw, how do you describe Bray?
He said, I saw a weird New Orleans cult guy?
Something like that.
Something like that.
Beat Finn up and knock him off the turnbuckle. And right then, Bray gets out from under the ring and runs out of the ringside area and up the ramp.
In the most cartoonish manner.
Oh my gosh.
He's got a big wide-eyed look on his face as if he's like Bugs Bunny.
Well, like he just got had.
Like he just got had, exactly. So he comes out from under the ring and like runs as he's looking back.
It was so great.
It was absent. Somebody behind us said that was worth the price of admission. Totally,
oh, yeah.
Totally true. The fact that they would let that they allow Bray Wyatt to kind of break character, to break the mystique and have fun in front of a live non-televised crowd is absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
That's amazing. I love that they did that.
So anyways, after that, that's when Dean says, we're all huge fans. We want to hear you do your catchphrase. So the Miz goes, I'm the Miz, and I'm right about to do that. Seth comes up behind him, gives him a ripcord.
Yeah.
He stumbles into Dean. Dean gives him dirty deeds. Mm-hmm. And then
Finn goes up. They move in position so Finn can do
the coup de grace.
Yeah, exactly. And he does a little crotch chop before.
Yeah, he did.
So that was a lot of fun. And then they all
went around the ringside area, giving fans high fives and two sweets and stuff. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. It was great. So let's answer some questions.
Yes. I went through and I liked a lot of them, so we have some at the ready.
Oh, good job liking them.
Yes. Tyler Bate, doppelganger champion Brigadoon. Of the current feuds, Roman Braun, Balor Wyatt, Rollins Joe, and Miz Dean, which one of these feuds will produce a challenger for Brock and the Universal title, and how would you book it? And will it happen at Great Balls of Fire or wait until SummerSlam? Braun, I feel like, after his feud with Roman, is going to be next in line.
Yeah. I think that's going to be SummerSlam.
I don't know. Yeah, be SummerSlam. So I guess, but Brock's supposed to defend at Great Balls of Fire. I mean, there's nothing keeping them from doing two matches with Braun and Brock if they think there's money in it.
Okay, well, this is my question. I guess because I agree that it's going to be Braun Lesnar. What's Roman going to do at SummerSlam?
I don't have an answer to that question.
Yeah, me neither. Because I feel like, okay, Great Balls of Fire, you can kind of get away with Braun versus Lesnar and Roman maybe interferes.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that kind of feels like it's beneath Roman. But
what because I feel like the point of having Braun destroy Reigns is to make Reigns a more sympathetic character.
They're giving him a struggle.
Yeah. Is there anybody else that he could face on Raw that can, you know, really put it to him?
Well, the other Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. It's the only other guy I can really think of.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen Bray Wyatt before, but he's not really the kind of guy who's going to do that.
Yeah.
Joe, yeah. If, you know, one cheap shot, and then he can dominate the rest of the time.
Definitely.
Let's see here.
Triple H finds it funny. Hey, friendo, so something that really upsets Triple H finds it funny is wrestlers on social media blatantly breaking kayfabe. And so his question is, what is our take on it? Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me at all.
Well, he specifically mentions Natalia, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte. Charlotte is all over. And that doesn't bug me at all. It really doesn't. I mean, I'm trying to think. There might be, and I'm trying to think of it right now, there might be some performers. Okay, I'll tell you. This might bug me. So Braun and Roman are in like a ridiculously heated thing right now where it's just absolute destruction. If Braun takes a selfie with Roman afterwards, that's crossing a line, I think. The freak. For me, that's like, okay, you guys are in something together right now, which there needs to be some aspect of, I don't want to see you guys palling around because I'm watching you guys destroy
each
other.
I understand. It would be strange if literally right after Payback, if that had happened. I agree with that.
Yeah. There is a line, there is a limit, but if Charlotte, who is, well, now she's a face, but when she was a heel, she snaps a shot with with Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
I don't really care about that. They're not in a thing together. I would just say, like, for the purpose of, you know, keeping me into the product, probably best to, like, not be palling around if you're in the middle of a heated feud.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's probably my only, you know, real thing. Or, like, in the case of, like, I think when CM Punk and John Cena were in a feud, I think, or CM Punk might have been a heel and Cena was a face, They had a bet riding on either the World Series or the hockey playoffs or Super Bowl. I forget which one.
Yeah.
And CM Punk ended up losing or winning. I forget what it was, to be honest with you. When has Chicago taken on a Boston team? I'm trying to think recently. The Bears haven't really been doing anything. Probably hockey, I'd imagine.
Yeah. It's probably the hockey, yeah.
Or it could be a
It wasn't football. It wasn't baseball.
It wouldn't have been baseball?
No. Because the Cubs, Punk's a Cubs fan. The Cubs were just recently good.
Okay, okay.
Because back in 2012, 2013, the Cubs were not good.
So anyways, one of them lost a bet. Maybe it was Punk, I forget. But anyways, and he posted an Instagram thing with Cena, like, and he was handing over money. That I don't really care about. They weren't, like, in the middle of a heated feud.
No.
You know, there are some times when it's okay. But if you're in the middle of something, yeah, it probably takes away a little bit for me.
Yeah. Number one jobber, Alex Ponce. Yesterday's Raw was my first ever live wrestling event. I think I got some good seats. With that said, do you think there where you sit affects your overall experience at a live show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you're ringside, you have a much different experience if you're anywhere else in the arena.
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely. And in fact, like at Mania, so Mania 31, I you have to know your own limits.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a creature of absolute comfort.
Oh, yes.
And so WrestleMania was actually my least enjoyable experience of WrestleMania week. Like NXT was awesome. It was fantastic. We were literally, what, second row, mm-hmm. I think? So we were like second row at NXT, and it's a 3-hour show, if that.
Yeah, usually about 2 hours.
Like getting in there and then leaving, it's like maybe 3 hours at the most.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Progress was fantastic. WCPW was fantastic. Mania, they really put you through the freaking ringer.
It's a long day.
It's 7.5 hours. You're in the Florida sun. They've got the most uncomfortable chairs they could possibly find.
If you're on the field. If you're on the field.
We're on the field, which in theory was great. And it's a learning experience. I'm fine. I'm not like bitching about it. But the experience, like you're on the field, and if you're not 10 rows back, you're not really getting the most of your money.
Yeah.
And so they've got to squish together, not a lot of leg room. They've got these horribly uncomfortable chairs. And I'm like, look, I know this is WrestleMania and I should be having a blast. And the worst, you know what? All of that would have been fine if it wasn't for those goddamn strobe lights. Those lights murdered my brain. Mm. Because as soon as somebody comes down, they've got these lights that are like freaking bright as day, yeah. Just like strobing at
you. Well, they're these lights on the trusses above the ring. I don't know why they just kind of like are randomly programmed to flash into the audience.
Yeah.
And just where we're at just happened to be right in kind of like the line of the beams, mm-hmm. more often than not. So, yeah, we got a lot of lights right in the face.
And it's fine. It's a learning experience. I'm fine.
Yeah.
But no, I told you during the thing. I was like, God damn, I'm miserable right now.
Yeah.
Contrast that with Mania 31, where I showed up. I sauntered in as the main card was starting.
It was also a much shorter show.
And it was a much shorter show.
Even with the pre-show.
Right. And
so I think that was 5 hours.
We were on the first level.
Yeah.
So it was comfort.
Yeah.
So I get up there, I saunter in. Hey, it's Larson Hill.
Even with, we had our view partially obstructed by one of the pillars. Mm-hmm. But even then, our sight line was pretty good.
It was fun. You see the giant screen right there. You can see the ring, see everything that's going on.
We were in the shade.
Yeah, we were in the shade. Exactly. So, yeah, like everything sort of, you know, your state of mind, your state of comfortability, your line of sight, all that plays into the kind of experience mm-hmm. you're going to have. Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
So, yes. Yes.
Yes.
Let's see here. The South Texas Tiger, Dan Cannon. I think Finn's new shirt is absolutely sexy.
It's a good shirt.
Need to get me that one. Which current superstar do you think has the best shirt? And who do you want? And who do you want to get one?
Finn, that new Finn shirt's really good.
No, I agree with that. We were looking at the logo last night, like sort of in depth. We were having a conversation about it. It's very nice.
It is very nice. I'm trying to think of anybody else. That new that Sanity shirt they have out is not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. Although I feel like...
Oh, here's the answer. They need to release those Monday Night Revival shirts.
Yes, they do.
That is a fantastic garment.
Those are something else.
Adam Mayhem. Hey, friendo. So I worked at the Wrestle Circus show this weekend, which was an amazing show, and was able to see Leo Rush live for the first time, and he is so good.
He's something else, man.
Yeah. Anyways, taking that into consideration, if he were to sign with WWE, what do you guys think his ceiling would be?
Excellent cruiserweight champion.
Yeah. I mean, okay. He's what, 22?
Yeah. Yeah.
And his ability is already off the charts.
Yeah.
You know, especially in terms of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sky's the limit, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cruiserweight champion. I mean, he's so small.
I mean, no, I know.
He's so small. It's not like you can't put him out there in the.
Hold on. They said the same thing about Rey Mysterio. No, he was too small for the battle heavyweights.
Yeah, I know. But cruiserweight champion, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a limit. That's the ceiling right there. Unless he bulks up. Because Mysterio had bulked up.
Oh, I know.
When by the time he got that big gold belt, he had bulked up.
I know.
So I don't know if Leo Rush has the frame to do that. I don't know. But I would say cruiserweight champion. That's good. Kyle Mushigan. With Rollins having a new finisher and WWE banning the curb stomp a while ago because of people imitating it, what's the craziest or riskiest wrestling move you've ever tried yourself? And how did it end up going? Nothing. I don't.
Mm-mm. You've never done wrestling moves in like a swimming pool? I've done that.
The doomsday device in the swimming pool, I guess. I think haven't we tried that?
Probably.
Something like that.
Probably. I know I've chokeslammed someone in the swimming pool before.
Yeah. No, I've never done like.
But I've never tried a power bomb.
Never tried a proper bump. I've never tried anything.
I'm trying
to think.
I think Hilton and I tried to do. I don't remember what, but tried to do something a little more dangerous.
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was though? I think he just body slammed me.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is a pretty mundane wrestling move, but it's if you do it wrong, you could get hurt.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
So, I don't remember if he protected my neck or not.
Probably not. 'Cause nobody knows what they're doing.
No,
of course not.
Empire of Cleanliness, Andrew Mullen. Do you think that if the Shield reformed, Roman would get cheered again? It wouldn't be a guarantee. Because think about
I agree with your assessment. It wouldn't be a guarantee.
When Reigns was paired up with Dean all the time, they were using Dean to get Reigns over.
I know.
It didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't. Yeah. I don't really. That would be. I think it'd actually do the opposite. I think it'd like just be bad for Seth and Dean.
Oh, it probably would.
It would just hinder their advancement.
Yep. Drunk Bray Wyatt. The wrestling business started the stock exchange. Which wrestlers, any in the world, have high value stock, and low value stock? Which have low value but you would purchase, and which have high value which you wouldn't touch because they aren't rising or may fall soon? Thanks, guys.
I would not purchase Seth Rollins or Finn Balor.
Interesting.
Because they work themselves to the bone.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like...
Oh, injury risk?
Yeah. I'd purchase Dean Ambrose.
Interesting. He's a safe bet?
He's a safe bet. I'd purchase him.
What's the stock that you think is a good value right now?
Smojo. Well, okay, no. Hold on. Let me go back. Smojo is a high value stock. He's already high priced.
Yes, yes.
Who's a good bet to make that's low right now?
To make money, yeah.
I'd take every cent I own and put it all in on Aleister Black. Nothing dangerous about what he does.
No. Let's try and think of somebody. Because that's I get that. That's like a new IPO. Mm-hmm. I get that. I'm trying to think of just a wrestler whose stock is just low right now that you think with some quality booking could be on the rise.
Okay.
I'm trying to run down some
because
feuds.
Yeah, it feels like all the pieces that are in place, it doesn't seem like.
I'll say this. I'll say Ty Dillinger because they're literally not doing anything with him right now.
I guess so.
They're doing nothing with him right now.
Yeah.
So there's only one way to go, and that's up.
That's a penny stock, man. That's a penny stock right there.
It is right now, but. Could go up.
Scott Steiner's math student, Leland Thompson, I think. I got into your guys' show around the
wrestling.
First time patron, so thank you. Around Mania 32's build up and instantly fell in love with your content.
Thank you.
My question is about Bray Wyatt. With him clearly feuding against Finn Balor and with a segment with him and Kurt Angle on Monday, What are the chances that Bray goes over Balor and then gets into a feud with Kurt Angle for SummerSlam or Survivor Series? I would say probably not.
Yeah.
I would say not.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle, I think if he's going to get into a feud with anyone, it's going to be Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
That's for me.
Yeah, especially once Steph comes back, we'll see if the ball starts rolling in that direction.
Right.
Zach Parks.
Also, never bet on Bray Wyatt going over anybody.
Yes. First-time patron here. Thank you very much. With it being obvious that the Hardys are transcending to the broken universe, and with WWE showing they're happy to do a recorded match with the House of Horrors, how would you like the Hardys to do their first match in the broken universe, and do you think Cesaro and Sheamus would be the first tag team to go to the Hardy compound?
There's a part of me that wonders if the House of Horrors thing, and I honestly don't think this is the case.
Trial run?
Maybe. At least in the sense that maybe said, hey, if this works, it could also, you know, we could do more of the stuff, especially with the broken stuff. I don't think it was specifically designed to be a trial run.
Yeah.
But I think maybe they have one eye out for that because it had Final Deletion overtones.
Yeah. That could be. Read next.
Let's see here. I like this one because of the name. Steve is my spirit animal. First time subscribers here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Steve is my spirit animal. Question. Vince is convinced the best way to get Roman over is let him win every championship on Raw. He wants you to book him winning the Raw Women's Championship. How would you book that? I would book it the way they book those DDT Pro ones with, didn't Laura, who's Joey Ryan's wife? Laura Saint something or another. Anyways, they were like, I would have Roman romance. He'd be Romance Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
He'd romance one of the women's division champions.
Or contenders.
Contenders.
Yes.
She wins title. He waits till she's sleeping, goes for the pin, wins the title.
Okay.
New women's champion.
I was just going to say that.
Romance Reigns.
That mostly your scenario.
He said, I'm going to have him spear Alexa Bliss.
No, but just that, you know, he forms an alliance with, say, Alexa Bliss, and Alexa Bliss just gives him the belt.
Oh, like the million. She's a new million-dollar woman?
Yeah.
I like it. Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, 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 ha.
The other way around. The other way around. Next.
The Steve Defiler.
What?
Justin England.
He's defiling me.
Good.
Justin.
He agrees with Jason the Cabbie. Roman is getting all the wrong type of heat from bloodthirsty fans. Drew McIntyre, like Roman, was one of the chosen ones. It didn't work. Drew went out to the world and came back a stud. Could Roman benefit from taking some time away from WWE, fine-tuning his skills, and returning once fans have a chance to miss him?
Nope. There's a difference there. Drew was an indie wrestler before he came to WWE.
Yes.
Roman was not.
Yes.
I actually kind of think that would ruin Roman's mystique in mm-hmm. some respects. Mm-hmm. He's a WWE superstar.
Yeah, he's already won the championship twice, three times.
Anywhere else. Like if he was I don't know. If they weren't pushing him as strong, number one, it's a catch 22. If they weren't pushing him as hard as they were, he would be over.
I know.
That's the bottom line.
I know.
You know, people want to know they're working for what they're getting.
I know.
I even kind of appreciate like when Triple H was kind of putting him through the ringer, like, you know, the sink or swim thing that we kind of speculate that he was doing. I kind of appreciated that. I kind of had sympathy for Roman. I'm like, okay, I'm pulling for you.
Yes.
But it's like they even abandoned that.
I know.
We're just going to do, you know.
We're just going to push you to the moon and make it obvious. Chalupa Batman. WWE wants to bring back the King of the Ring, but the winner gets a title shot at SummerSlam and not the horrible King gimmick. And they put us, in charge of putting the tournament together. But here's the catch. You have to use four competitors from Raw, four from SmackDown, two from NXT, two from 205 Live, two from the UK roster, and two from the indie scene. Who do you choose and who wins?
Right.
Four from Raw.
Cesaro, I would want if you're the King of the Ring, you have to be the best wrestler.
Yeah.
The best wrestler. Agreed?
Yeah.
All right. Cesaro.
Yes. Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins. I'd say Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Put him in there. And one more.
Apollo Crews.
Okay, Apollo Crews is good.
Four from SmackDown. Shinsuke.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens.
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn. Baron Corbin.
Who's in their tag division that's any good? Chad Gable.
Chad Gable. Okay,
Chad Gable.
We'll go with
Put Chad Gable. Gable in there.
Two from NXT. Aleister Black.
And Andrade Cien Almas.
Yes, two from 205 Live.
Austin Aries.
Cedric Alexander.
Two from the UK roster.
Pete Dunne.
And Jordan Devlin.
Okay. Two from the indie scene.
Assuming his brain is healed at this point.
Two from the indie scene. I'm saying Ricochet.
Oh, how can you go wrong with Ricochet?
Now, you name one.
Well, if you're going to go Ricochet, obviously I'm going to go Will Ospreay.
Okay.
Because I think he should win the entire thing.
Okay. Find one more question. And then we'll do Kayfabe Corner.
Okay. I'm going to go down here and see if there's a lower one. Oh, here we go. Nope, that's too long. My goodness, that's a really long one. Here we go. Perfect. Alex. Oh, I love Alex Corrente. Let's see here. Watching Larson mark out in the background when Braun hit his first power slam was priceless. Speaking of Braun, he murdered Kalisto and Roman. What superstar do you want Braun to murder next, and in what creative fashion?
Well, it'd be great if he really put it to Brock. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. Like, how about this? Brock is on his farm farming, and Braun kind of comes out of nowhere and, like, throws the tractor across the field. Or okay. At least tips it over.
Yeah. I like it.
That'd be good.
I like I think tipping over is probably easier to pull off. Yeah, I like that. And then he would say, so instead of saying, like,
say, all your crops are garbage.
I was going to say, instead of garbage, what's like, what's a bad crop?
All your crops are GMO.
But I like that. That works. I like that. I want him to make Brock like Brock a crop. Like he puts him in the ground. He buries Brock. What does he call? What does he do? You're planted.
Yeah, there you go.
I planted you, Brock. Oh, that's good. I like that a lot.
But then, all right, let's do kayfabe.
All right, time for kayfabe corner. What is kayfabe corner, Larson?
It's only the greatest pro wrestling trivia challenge there is.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true.
12 names. Some are real, some are fake.
Sure.
Two trivia questions.
Yeah, two trivia questions. So this week at the $10 Patreon tier, you can vote. And the people did vote. It was actually a very close vote. I put up two options, Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm.
And Finn Balor won by at press time, at the time that I generated the thing. There was like 29 votes in, and it was 15-14.
Oh, wow.
Finn Balor.
Okay.
So
Balor it is.
Eked by number one.
One.
Hartley Jackson.
Real.
Very good. Naomi Perth.
Fake.
Very good. Rusha Road.
Real.
Ed the Samurai.
Fake.
Good. I'm sorry. Good for both those. Yeah, you're perfect so far. King Mac.
Spell Mac.
M-A-C.
Real.
Fake. Keith Kerr.
Is it K-E-R-R?
Yes.
Real.
Fake. Mick Kerrigan.
Real.
Good. Marco Corleone.
Real.
Very good. Travis Milano.
Fake.
Very good. John Walters.
What number is this?
I don't know. 10.
John Walters?
Yeah.
Real.
Very good. Mike Hollow.
Fake.
Real. Ultra Tokyo.
Fake.
Very good. Awesome.
9.
Well done. All right. Finn Balor, along with partner Minoru Tanaka, lost the IWGP tag titles in July of 2008 to the team of No Limit. Who is No Limit comprised of? IWGP tag team No Limit.
2008, you said, right?
In 2008, who were they?
Gosh, I feel like I know this.
Master P is not an option. This is not the No Limit Soldiers.
No, I imagine that would be the case. I'm going to say Carl Anderson and Ishii.
I would have given you half a point if you got one of these. Naito and the Tokyo Pimp.
Oh.
Or a tag team called No Limit.
Hmm.
What is the Master P thing? What does he do?
Oh. Why am I not remembering this? I know what you mean.
Yeah. It's a thing. This isn't a trivia. This isn't a quiz. This is a trivia question.
Was it Hootie Who?
I think it might be, but I don't know. All right. Question two.
Two.
Who did Balor team with as part of Apollo 55?
Hold on. I'm looking up the...
Hootie Who? It's right there. It says it.
No, I know, but maybe.
Oh.
Yeah, Master P.
There you go.
Sorry, say it again.
The name of the team was Apollo 55.
Yeah.
It was Balor and who?
Oh, I know this too. I remember I went through Balor's Wikipedia page one day and read up on it.
Yeah.
But now I forget everything. Carl Anderson.
The funky weapon himself.
Oh, yeah.
Taguchi.
Taguchi.
Yep.
So I got nine.
You got nine. Are you ahead now?
Yeah.
You might be ahead. All right. Well done. Very good.
What did you get last week? Did you get seven or eight?
Shit, I don't know. I don't remember.
I'm up five, I think, right now.
You're up five? Okay, when I have next
but yeah,
week.
Yeah,
I have this week. Okay, cool. Well, I got to do good this week.
Yes. You have to do well.
All right. We're going to try to squeak out one of these bonus episodes on Patreon. I am dying right now, though, so we might have to talk about our schedule later on after
that's fine.
Important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's it for now. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.